Episode 6 of Welcome to Level 7. 4.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7, the unofficial Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Daniel Butcher.
And I'm the other one. Alone. Oh, I stepped on it.
Man, I was going to give you the big intro and everything. So let's just let the other guy introduce himself.
I'm the other guy. I'm Ben Avery. Welcome.
I was going to make it sound like you were a hero, that you were a figure of legend. Maybe a god.
Maybe even a god.
But no, we just bumbled it again.
And we are here to talk about the movie S.H.I.E.L.D. 2. After talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. 1 last week or last episode, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. Part 2.
You're right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Part 1 was Welcome to California. S.H.I.E.L.D. Part 2 is Welcome to New Mexico, which is hotter. And less people.
And provides us better filming incentives.
And we can build a whole town so we can
all
destroy it.
All you have to do is say the word New Mexico a million times. Seriously, how many times do we hear the... Are we reminded that this is in New Mexico?
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we were reminded about this before we even got to this movie. It was given to us a couple times in dialogue in Iron Man 2.
Okay.
That's where we're going next. We're going to New Mexico, and there's going to be a hammer.
It's the land of enchantment.
It is.
So let's go ahead, since we've already started with New Mexico. Let's talk about New Mexico for a little bit.
Yes, this is a love letter to New Mexico, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of New Mexico and how it's paralleled by the plot of this movie.
I'm not interested in this. But, you know, New Mexico really is a character in this movie as Thor has his long weekend and finds romance in New Mexico. I do have some issues with the fact that we have this small town. I've lived in plenty of small towns. I can see this thing end to end, this town. Yet, for some reason, we have easy access to Burger King.
I have no problem with that at all. There's another town 5 miles down the road.
It's not 5 miles. It's at and least 30, a Target. 35 minutes.
No. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. There's a 7-Eleven. We have, yet again, product placement. Man of Steel, 7-Eleven, gets destroyed. Thor, 7-Eleven, gets destroyed. I'm okay with that. Not the destruction part, but the 7-Eleven in this town.
You know, it's pretty obvious, but at least it's not as bad as... in James Bond and the what's that last James Bond movie?
Skyfall.
Skyfall. At least it's not as bad as in Skyfall, where it's like, hey, allow me to intentionally turn the bottle so you can see the Heineken label. So, I mean, let's be honest. One of the big differences between John Carter and Thor was John Carter's inability to protect itself from financial risk by placing Coca-Cola at the proper places next to a Burger King ad.
There might be something to that.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing with this product placement, is it's protection against financial risk. Because there's a ton of product placement in this. Okay. And I'm just getting done reading a book about Disney during the Eisner era right now. And there's a lot of discussion about the fact that when you make movies, you want to use other people's money. Because it's risky.
Man of Steel, it's a very expensive movie. They had almost made back their production budget, not the promotion budget, but the production budget on product placement. But here's my question to you. We see product placement in this movie and in Man of Steel. It's this, like I mentioned, 7-Eleven in both of them gets destroyed. Is this good product placement where you're destroying the thing that you're trying to like advertise? It's like, come to 7-Eleven and we'll blow up.
I'm okay. You're going to have to destroy something. I'm okay with them destroying something that is part of our world and someone is paying for it to be destroyed. What I have a problem with is when it doesn't fit. And in Man of Steel and here in Thor, we just have products that are improperly placed. Because for those of us who have lived in small-town America, I'm sorry, it's not a 7-Eleven. It might be a Phillips 66, and it's got somebody else's name in front of it.
Do you remember the Dr. – I think it was Dr. Pepper cans?
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Pepper commercials that featured Thor. And I think there was like a tornado that picked up Dr. Pepper cans or something like that. It was a big deal. They did a lot of stuff with this movie. I think partially because they had to protect it, because this is the one that I think Marvel was worried about.
I think you can't be right. This is the first one that really begins to stretch that real world feel.
And beyond that, it's the one without recognition, because you have Incredible Hulk. You had a 5 years of the TV show and then decades of reruns and syndication. And you had cartoon shows of the Incredible Hulk, and with Iron Man, you had obviously Iron Man 1 that was really successful. Now you're coming in with Thor. People know about Thor as the Norse god of thunder, but they don't know about Thor as the Marvel Comics character. He never had his own cartoon, except for back in the 60s. He never had his own TV show, except for the was it the Return of the Incredible Hulk? I think it was Return of the Incredible Hulk that had Thor as a character. Mm-hmm. But who's going to remember that except for the super geeks?
I do, because he's now on
Good Luck Super
Charlie
Geek.
As the dad.
He's what?
He's on Disney's Good Luck Charlie as the dad. And it cracks me up, because as he's playing the dad, I think to myself, he was Thor.
Well, that's well and good. What I'm saying is the super geek is going to remember that he was Thor.
So what you're telling me is, if history has shown us anything, and this was the movie that Marvel was worried about, so they had to make sure to financially protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to see in Guardians of the Galaxy is there's going to be a scene where the entire crew is sitting around, I don't know, a mess table, sharing a meal that consists of McDonald's, Budweiser, and Dr. Pepper as they discuss their progressive insurance plan.
No, but there will be a 7-Eleven in that little tiny town on the planet of Badoon.
But, you know, there's a good chance we can learn something about the Guardians of the Galaxy and how it's going to be financially protected by looking at what happened at Thor. Because you're right. This is the scary movie.
It is. And it is very different. It's Lord of the Rings on one hand, and it's Superman on the other hand. But look at what else they did to protect themselves. They bring in Kenneth Branagh, who he's Shakespeare. He's done other things, but he's known for
But he
for
does
doing,
not direct action adventure movies.
No, that's not at all what he's known for. He's known for drama. He's known for Shakespeare. They're bringing in Anthony Hopkins coming in to play the Marlon Brando role. They're bringing in, you know, Natalie Portman, who, okay, if I was wrong about Liv Tyler, I can admit that, but she is a name now. Natalie Portman is a name. Okay.
Now, I don't think she had won an Oscar yet.
Maybe not, but she had been in Star Wars.
She's been
a big enough name to have been a guest on Sesame Street and sing a song with Elmo.
And I will agree that she had indie cred. She had independent movie cred. She was seen as a serious actor who made serious movies.
And who also did Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then they've got Chris Hemsworth, who is Captain Kirk's dad from Star Trek.
But right? Nobody knew that.
No, they didn't know that at the time. But when you saw Star Trek, you're like, oh, hey, so that's what's going on here. That's Thor. Okay.
So cool. So they're trying to bring this more dramatic feel to it. Do you think that they pulled off the drama?
I think that they brought in the pedigree. I don't think that they were trying to pull off the drama. They wanted drama, and there's some drama there. But this is a very lighthearted movie. This is a rom-com. I mean, this is
a super fun weekend in New Mexico.
It is.
Land of enchantment.
Thor and Jane Foster, Natalie Portman, they meet cute. They tase him. They run him over with their car. It's a fun movie, especially when you're on Earth. It's very lighthearted and very much a romantic comedy. Then you're matching that up with the superheroics, with Thor being Thor, and you're matching that up with fight scenes straight from Lord of the Rings. And actually, even more so than that, did you get this vibe of 80s fantasy movies?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be a Krull.
It could be a Krull. It could be a Clash of the Titans. And Flash Gordon with all the gold. I mean, there was more gold and scenery in this movie than you found in Flash Gordon.
And none of those movies are Iron Man.
No, not at all.
Just quality.
Excalibur. There's a lot of times where I felt like I was watching Excalibur. All of the Asgard stuff. This is a very different movie from Iron Man 2, from Iron Man, and from Incredible Hulk. And that is a very good thing.
Well, and I will say this. I was kind of down on this the first time I saw it, when it was released in 2011. I was pretty down on it when I saw it in the theater. But it was on the second viewing.
It's because you were watching it wrong.
Well, that's the thing. I was watching it wrong because my wife explained it to me when she watched it with me, that what we were in fact watching was a romance movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as being a female who wasn't looking for lots of explosions, she wasn't focusing on that. She was focusing on this relationship between Thor and Jane Foster, which I won't tell her I think is pretty shallow.
It's only shallow because of time, like actual minutes spent on it, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was really what she resonated to, and everything else was just window dressing around a romance because in her mind I had been watching it wrong.
And again, they're hedging their bets. They're creating a movie. It's a date movie, honestly. They're creating the movie that I would possibly be able to get my wife to go to, and maybe my wife would enjoy it. Now, my wife is not into science fiction at all, but she likes things like The Office. She likes comedies. She does not like, you know, Star Trek or anything like that. She puts up with me with that stuff. But I tricked her into going to see Independence Day because I told her Harry Connick Jr. was going to be in it. And then he died in the first third of the movie. And so she had to sit through, you know.
How are you married? How did this woman accept you after these lies?
It wasn't a lie. I just thought, oh, it's like Star Wars, only with Harry Connick Jr. as one of the characters. And
5 minutes?
Yeah. Well,
I will say this.
She wasn't happy with me about that one, but
the question that I keep getting from my wife is, when does Thor the Dark World come out? And she did not ask about Iron Man 3.
Really? So she's interested then?
She's very interested.
Well, definitely Thor the Dark World is going to pick up on that romance with Thor and Jane Foster in a way that Avengers never even talked about. Did they even mention her name in Avengers?
Yes. Because they had to take care of her to explain why she wasn't there. So they explained to Thor that they had picked her up and taken her to a remote lab / observatory and were paying her a handsome fee.
Yeah, in Norway, right?
He thanks them for getting her out of the way.
All right.
But they want to make it clear that she's in a safe spot.
The Thor the Dark World prelude comic is all about the bridging the gap between Thor and Avengers, at least the first issue is. And Coulson, his one thing that he does in that movie, or in that comic, is to call Jane Foster and say, hey, come work for us in Norway.
We've talked for, what, 30, 40, 50 minutes now? We still haven't talked about Thor.
Well, let's talk about the actual plot here, because we have Thor comes to Earth. He gets knocked out by Jane Foster and her friends and goes to a hospital. And then we flash back to Asgard, where Thor is the bee's knees. He is about to be crowned king of Asgard, right? And he is cocky. He is full of himself. He is self-assured. And
stupid.
He's not very smart. And then all gets interrupted by the ice giants, who they're trying to steal something. And then Thor decides, you know, this got interrupted. I'm going to go there and find out what's going on. He breaks the truce and
he will make them pay.
He gets his powers taken away after a huge, awesome battle, which we'll talk about soon enough, and gets sent to Earth, which brings us back to the present day. And his hammer falls. And this is what we found out about in Iron Man 2 when Coulson gets the call. It was because this hammer that fell to the earth, and it becomes Excalibur. He who can lift the hammer is worthy, and no one is worthy, not even Thor, until Thor is able to give himself as a sacrifice. He almost dies, but the hammer brings him back to life. He fights the bad guys. He goes back to Asgard. He cuts the bridge down. It cuts off Asgard from everything, and that includes Jane. But it's okay, because Heimdall can see Jane, and she's just fine.
She's looking for him.
She's looking for him.
Isn't that romantic, man?
It is, because it's a romantic comedy. Do you want to hold hands
as we think about Jane looking for him?
Well, no.
As he stands next to Heimdall and talks to Heimdall about her looking for him.
And basically stalks Jane Foster through Heimdall's eyes.
Oh, man, he's such a weirdo. It's always the big, handsome guys, isn't it?
So, yeah, so that's our movie. Let's talk about, what do you want to talk about first?
So let's talk about, some of these topics are going to be brief. Let's start with Asgard. It's beautiful.
It is. It's really cool looking. And that kind of under the island kind of thing, where it's like on a disc, the camera pans up, you know, through the water, and yeah, then it's bright and shiny, golden. It's a great world.
It's definitely a fantasy city. I did find myself asking at one point what some of those buildings were used for. And then I asked myself what some of the Asgardian jobs were, because all you really see them do is congregate together in giant meetings and eat and drink and fight. And it's pretty clear from Odin's discussion he doesn't want to fight all the time. So, you know, I wonder if what they do all day. They don't have TV as far as I know.
They have Heimdall. He can watch things in other places and tell them what's going on.
Stand around, children, as our world's greatest stalker tells us about what happened in other worlds.
And now Heimdall is going to watch that television in that little town in New Mexico and tell us what's happening on American Idol.
The facts of life are on, everyone. Heimdall, tell us about Tootie.
Oh, I hope this is the one that's a very special episode.
So Asgard.
Yeah, it's a great fantasy city. Not much more to say about it, other than it's very bright and shiny and reminds me of Flash Gordon.
Yep.
So.
And then, of course, we're introduced to Thor.
Yes.
Who's pretty. He's good looking.
He's rugged. He's strong and he's big.
And the minute he talks, I think we're all pretty much supposed to dislike him.
I think we are, too. I think they're trying to set up something along the lines of Robert Downey Jr., of a Tony Stark, where here's someone who has a lot of growing to do.
And so to just do a quick comparison, we have Loki.
Yes.
And Loki is not as handsome.
No, and he's not as strong.
And not as strong. And in my first watch, I think that being just a regular guy, I actually looked at Loki and I was like, okay, I know it's Loki, but I like him.
No,
this movie starts.
He's that younger brother. You kind of root for this kind of kid.
He's more sensible.
And he knows he's not going to get the crown. He's not going to get the throne. And honestly, he's better suited for it. He knows that as well. So
yeah. And I'm sure we'll come back to Thor real quick. You know, Loki, in a lot of ways, because he is the villain... and obviously he's played fantastically by Tom Hiddleston because of the fact that he keeps getting to come back. But, you know, when you talk about all these movies and we know we've got some unnamed ones with future release dates, if I was to make a pitch, I want to see The Fall of Loki. I want to see a movie where we see this guy off on some sort of solo adventure and he starts off with this Thor that we see at the beginning of the movie, this idea at least of what we think that Loki is at the beginning of the movie. And how he went from that idea to being the Loki who's out for himself, out for his own self-image. I want it to be more than just realizing and finding out that he's an ice giant. I want there to be something that happened before this movie occurred that leads to the fall of Loki.
I don't think we'll ever get that, though. I think it has to be just kind of assumed. I think they do a lot with the character, a lot more with creating a well-rounded villain than a lot of superhero movies get. He's not evil for evil's sake. He is mischievous, or he's supposed to be mischievous. But really, it comes down to he's the put-upon brother. He knows that he's not loved as much as his older brother. And I like this character. I think Tom Hiddleston, by the way, he should be the next Doctor. He should be the next Doctor after Matt Smith.
Has he even been in consideration?
I have no idea. But I
mean, in the speculation.
Possibly. I've not seen anything about him.
He would be a fantastic. He's such a good actor.
I think he'd be a good follow-up for Matt Smith. I think he could hold his own. Matt Smith has a lot of fans who love him, and rightfully so. But I think that Tom Hiddleston would be a fantastic Doctor. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I know that BBC people, you know, they're listening to this podcast because they want to know how to do television right.
Well, as we established in episode 5, you know, Yahoo Movies listens to us. So yeah, clearly, you know, BBC does too.
Yeah, obviously. So
so let's bounce back to Thor. So we don't like him. His powers get taken away. He gets thrown into New Mexico where he becomes the Viking out of
war. Now, wait, before we go on there, I do like him. I like him as the good-natured jock.
But don't you think it takes time to like him? I think at the beginning they establish so clearly that we're not supposed to like him, that I think it takes time for us to like. I feel like we have to go on his journey with him to become a nicer person in order for us to begin to like him.
I like him when I'm seeing him with his friends.
Yes, okay.
That's when I'm really starting to say, okay, I like this guy. Before that, I know who he is. And they very clearly make you.
You know what? I take that back. No, I don't like him when he's with his friends because he's willing to put his friends to risk. He's willing to put his friends' lives on the line for his stupid ego.
No.
I don't like him with his friends.
It's another grand adventure that they're going on. And this is where he's not that smart.
But he's clearly the quarterback, and the quarterback shouldn't be throwing everybody into the mix to get killed.
Well, no, because that's football, and this is Asgard.
Everybody on the team doesn't need to go through the middle.
No, because they've had their adventures before. This is just another adventure. He's saying, you know, hey, remember the adventure we went on before? Let's go. Let's go together. Let's have a great, grand adventure. They will sing about our adventure in the future or make a movie about it.
He's known these guys long enough. He needs to protect them and take care of them. And he's not doing it. So, no, I don't like it.
All right.
It takes me time to like him.
All right. Okay. I'm just saying, there's definitely a journey that you're supposed to go on here with him.
And that was the point that I was getting to, is we have a journey where his character changes significantly.
And I think that of all of the – well, maybe Captain America, maybe. But he changes more. Thor as a character changes more from the beginning of this movie to the end than – pretty much any of the other Marvel characters, except for maybe Steve Rogers, but that's mostly a physical change.
Yep. Because I think Steve Rogers is still at his core the same personality.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think it's more interesting to watch a character's personality change than watching their physical shape change.
And I think that with Captain America, we'll talk about this more with that movie, but we're going to see more change in him as he's going through things in modern day. With Captain America Winter Soldier, but that's in the future. I mean, this is with Thor right now, we're looking at a character who's meant to grow and meant to grow in enormous ways.
Really. Quickly.
Yeah.
He has to, because you have to get through that arc quickly. As you said, they're worried. Are they worried enough that there may never be a Thor the Dark World? You know, they've got to get this story told.
Yeah. No, they can't say we'll save some of it for the sequel. It's like, we've got to tell a good, strong, standalone story.
Well, and the sequel is the Avengers.
Yeah, well, and that's the case with all these movies.
But if this does not go well, he could be very, very marginalized in the Avengers.
Yeah. And he kind of is, but yeah. What's interesting about this, or at least what I'm seeing, is I see a lot of what's happening with Thor is his father is testing him. And honestly, I see a lot of what happens after Thor is sent to Earth is this is not just a test for Thor. It's also a test for Loki. This is Odin's chance to see what his sons are made of and see what they're going to do with the challenges that are put in front of them.
And it's made clear Odin, even though he's in his Odin sleep, is watching.
Yes. He can see and understand everything that's going on.
And when I hear that, I don't think he's just – the sense of when you talk about a person who's like in a coma, you know, they can hear you. The sense that I get is that Odin is looking out beyond himself. He's transcended the fact Asgard, his physical body, but he's actually able to see and comprehend what's going on in New Mexico and what Loki's doing in the throne room. And maybe even when he goes to see his real dad.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because even Heimdall couldn't see that. But I do see Odin. He is an invested father. He's a loving father, and he loves both of these sons. Even though, yeah, it's obvious Thor is Thor, I like Odin. I like Odin as a father character. He's not perfect, but he definitely wants to see what his sons are made out of. He wants to, you know, wants them to be the best that they can be. And when he whispers into the hammer and says, you know, whoever lifts this hammer, if he's worthy, will have the power of Thor, I see that as he is hoping that his son will rise to that and be able to pick up the hammer.
Well, I would say he knows that at some point that the challenges are going to be there and that he is going to become a better person and reclaim it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he knows that it's going to happen. But
when you say Odin isn't perfect, he lies. But the reason he lies is because he doesn't want to hurt his other son, because he does see Loki as being his son.
He doesn't
see Loki as being the enemy of an ice giant. He sees him as being his son. He's loved him since he was a baby.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that is – it'd be hard – For me, you know, even looking at that situation, I'm thinking, well, the guy, I mean, he picks up the baby. That baby's freakish, you know. But he – it's a true adoption of a son. It's not just, okay, well, I'll raise him because I feel indebted. No, this is a true adoption where he is saying, I'm going to take this son, raise him as my own. And, he, you know, Loki doesn't even know that he's been adopted, so to speak.
And
he might feel a little different, but he doesn't know.
And in our history, we do have this example of sons of some rulers and monarchs being transferred to others as kind of a hostage slash protection against battles and wars between those kingdoms. I don't even think – I think at a certain point Odin may have started there, but I think he's actually given up on that idea. I think if he was going to hold to that idea, he would have told Loki, you're an ice giant. You're the son of Laufey.
I think he's
saying, this is my son. This is not a hostage anymore.
I don't think he's taking Loki as a hostage. I think he's taking Loki to raise him to be the king of the ice giants, to raise him to take what Lofnir or whatever his name is, to take the place of Lofnir, because, you know, he says both of his children are born to, you know, be in the throne or something along those lines.
He does.
Both of you were born to be kings. And
I took that as being you're both sons of kings, genetically.
Yeah, but what he's saying is you're both born to be kings. Thor is going to be the king of Asgard, but I'm going to raise Loki to be like me, to be a good and wise king, so that when Loki, the son of Lofnir, returns to his own people to be king, kind of like that Aquaman kind of thing, he's being raised as an Asgardian to be the king of the ice giants. It's in a lot of ways, I think it's like Odin's, it's a weapon. Odin is doing this so that when Loki is ready to be the king of the ice giants,
it will be a time of peace. I think Odin started there, but I think he's given up on that by the time this story is there.
That might be. I don't think he has.
And I think he's given up on – he may still have plans for Loki to take a throne, but I don't think he's thinking military weapon anymore. I think he's trying to think of the best interests of his son, who should be a king.
I think that in the course of this movie is when he gives up on that plan, is when he realizes the character of Loki is not going to do what I'm hoping to happen.
Yeah, because Loki's a liar.
He is.
And I mean, historically, when you look at Norse mythology, that is Loki's nature. He is the liar.
Absolutely, yeah. He's the mischief maker. He's the the god of mischief. So, all right, so that's Loki and Thor. Let's talk about.
We've kind of talked about Odin.
Yeah, let's talk about Meow Meow or Meow Mix.
Talking about Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
We're talking about a hammer.
We're talking about the hammer.
It doesn't have a personality.
No, but what a great line that Odin has where he says, let me find that here. It's forged in the heart of a dying star. A weapon to destroy or a tool to build. I have never, until seeing this movie, thought of the dichotomy of Thor's hammer like that. A weapon to destroy or a tool to build. That's cool.
It is cool. Especially since it can call down lightning.
Also cool.
And help you to fly, I have a hammer in my garage. It's kind of cool. It's got a green handle. But I can't make it make me fly.
I don't know how the physics of that really works because
Just stop.
You're giving it enough energy to give yourself lift.
Not even talk about it.
That's no, like no, you're throwing don't, yourself.
Don't. You are. It's magic, which, as we've learned in this movie, is also science.
Yeah.
With a different name.
Ugh. Okay.
All right, so let's talk about...
Jane Foster's line, magic's just science we don't understand yet. Arthur C. Clarke, no, that's not what Arthur C. Clarke said. Don't say it like you're quoting him.
But the thing is Natalie Portman wants to quote him because she got to make a lot of input on this character and she tried to make it after real people and real thoughts.
It might be so, but she really botched that one up, which is realistic. We mess up quotes all the time, but... Yeah, that whole argument with Svelvig is just, it's just science we don't understand yet. Okay.
So do you like Jane Foster?
I like her well enough. It's very funny to see her sitting next to Chris Hemsworth. He's so big and she's so petite.
So small.
But no, she's a likable person. She's the kind of person that if she wasn't like a famous movie star, I could imagine, you know, being willing to sit down and have coffee with you and have a fun little conversation and that kind of thing and be an interesting person to talk to.
Do you think the fact that she's a genius but doesn't have it all together is to help you like her?
Okay, look, I've heard a lot of people talk about the whole too pretty to be a scientist thing in movies. And I don't...
No, it's not. It's
I don't like
bad.
That. But what I'm about to say is she doesn't feel like a scientist. And that's the problem. She's a likable character. I can accept the whole genius thing, but she doesn't feel like a scientist. Does that make sense?
I can't see what you're saying. And part of it is the fact that scientists are very structured. And let's be honest, she's what, working out of a gas station in New Mexico?
Yeah. And, you know, she's kind of got a Doc Brown thing going where she's making things on her own, you know, and she's got her own laboratory kind of thing with, like you said, in this town in the middle of New Mexico. She's got the van that they run out in, and that's fun and everything. But she's the absent-minded professor, and I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling that she's that absent-minded professor. I'm feeling like she's, you know, she could be the poli-sci major.
I think we can just move on because, as you said, and I agree, I like her well enough. Yeah. Then we have Eric.
Eric, who, poor guy, he's there to...
Drink, you know, Boilermakers.
Yeah. He's there for exposition. And that's okay. You need to have characters like that. He's also there to get set up for what he does in Avengers.
Which is a big role.
It is. But I feel bad for him. I wish there was more...
Now, I will say I do like the fact that the two of them do try to start the cover that Thor is Donald Blake.
Oh, I love that. I love that because in the comics, originally, it was a doctor named Donald Blake who had he had something wrong with his leg or something. He had a cane and he finds the stick and he hits the stick and he turns into Thor. And it's two different people. But it's not two different people. I don't understand how they retcon it. But so that's the original origin. I love that they tie it in like that.
It's a geek out moment.
It is. And it's fun and it works in the context of the story. It could be any name other than Donald Blake and still work. But the fact that it is Donald Blake is that much better. Yeah. Love that. But you know the bad thing about that? It means that we might not see an actual Donald Blake. Like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He can't, you know.
But I'm okay with that. I would be fine if they used Donald Blake as a cover again in the second Thor movie. I think that's kind of an established piece. I don't want to see Donald Blake in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, what about Doctor Strange? Do you want to see Dr. Donald Blake and Doctor Strange? Aren't they like colleagues or something?
I'm not connecting the two.
Okay.
I don't see it as a Blake and Strange traveling physician. So
that could be the next TV series, Blake and Strange. Sounds cool.
So we've come to Earth. Some other people follow. So we got the Warriors 3 and Sif.
Yes, we have Xena, Robin Hood, and what was the other one? When they're walking down the street and one agent says to the other one, I like
them. We have a Xena, a Jackie Chan, and a Robin
Hood. That's what it was.
They're nice enough friends. I like them nice enough.
I think this is
their purpose.
Yeah.
Which is to be friends, to be there, to be that brand of brothers. If we're going to believe that Thor's a warrior, he's got to have other warriors to lead. I think they do their job.
I think we're getting at a weakness of this movie, and that's the supporting cast. Is other than Odin and Loki and Thor, we're looking at a cast of people who they're serviceable. They work.
Well, but I'll argue that Ray Stevenson, I mean, who plays Volstagg, he's a very good actor. I mean, he's done some nice stuff like in Rome. The bad thing is he's also done some stuff that's a little cruddy like G.I. Joe Retribution.
But that's not, I mean,
and the other Punisher movie.
But in this movie, he's not. Nothing stands out with the supporting cast. They're there. They're solid. They're good enough.
You know who stands out to me in the supporting cast?
Who?
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. It's a decent cameo there. I like it.
And so as we talked about with the Incredible Hulk, that's probably one of our favorite cameos with him. This one's a pretty good one. I'll be honest, and maybe it's just the restrictions he's putting in his travel as he's getting older. I'm beginning to think that these cameos are going downhill, to be honest. But I think that this may have been the high point of cameos.
Yeah. Well, because,
you know, he actually went to New Mexico for this one.
Did he?
Well, I would imagine. I mean, he's in that truck.
Well, his cameos in the later movies aren't as good. But I think part of it is that they just have to keep doing them.
Well, I will argue that his one in the Avengers was the wrong one because they did do a different cameo.
Well, we'll talk about that on the Avengers episode. Yeah. But, you know, his cameo in Ang Lee's Hulk, I like that. But then it's like, okay, now we got to find somewhere else to put him in for Iron Man, somewhere else to put him in for Spider-Man, somewhere else. I mean, there's only so many different walk-on roles that you can do that are going to make an impact. And you know, it's nice. They put him in, they give him the one-liner, and then they're done with him. And it's a nice thing to do, but yeah, it does go downhill from here. Iron Man 3. Oh man, Iron Man 3.
Let's talk about the S.H.I.E.L.D. cast.
S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up. Coulson gets some awesome, awesome screen time.
He is very clearly a man in charge, a man who is respected, a man not to be trifled with in this role.
Yeah.
In this movie. And he's the man. He's definitely calling the shots.
He is. Now, we'll talk about the ending maybe toward the ending. Well, let's talk about it right now. When he comes up at the end, which, again, it feels like an 80s movie where everything's just wrapped up. Now, this is before, you know, the whole battle in Asgard. But where they defeat the giant monster and Thor's back and now everyone's gathered around and they're all smiles and then, oh, here comes, you know, the principal. And he comes.
Literally, if you watch Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right. But I'm thinking, you know, 80s, you know, comedies or whatever. And by the way, you're also going to get your stuff back, you know. And, oh, by the way, you know, here's...
But I took that as the deal with the devil. I took that as S.H.I.E.L.D.'s now in control of her.
Yes, she's working for them. And that's the way S.H.I.E.L.D. works. I mean, you know, they bring in the people that they need to do the things that they need to get done.
And Eric talks about that because he talks about his friend who knew a lot about gamma radiation and then got involved with them.
Now, was he talking about Banner there?
Or is he talking about Stearns?
That's what I was wondering. I wonder if he's if he knew both. Because then he says something about Banner, too. Didn't he?
Well, I think he does, but the thing about – he says that his friend never really – I think he basically insinuated that his friend died, or at least he thought he died.
Okay.
Which I think easily could be Banner or Stearns because it's not like either one of them are walking around on the streets.
Right, right. So
– But the thing that doesn't work is we don't see either of them really working with S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, and so who else is there?
Unless we're supposed to believe that the intro to The Incredible Hulk is insinuating that Banner's working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a possibility. Or that S.H.I.E.L.D. got involved somehow after everything happened. So, yeah.
Incredible Hulk, that we don't have S.H.I.E.L.D. agents actually running around we do here.
It's a little unclear.
I want to talk about two S.H.I.E.L.D. agents other than Coulson.
Who do you want to talk about?
Well, go ahead. Rant about Hawkeye. Go ahead.
It's a problem. It's a serious problem. We should have seen Hawkeye doing something in this movie.
It's a great fanboy moment.
It is not a great fanboy moment. It's a terrible fanboy moment.
The fact that he is beginning to cheer for this guy very much fits the Hawkeye personality from the comic books.
We should have seen him fire an arrow. And
we're good.
No, we're not good. We're not good at all because in Iron Man 2, like we talked about, Black Widow, she comes, she does her thing. You see what she's good at. You see her doing it and be good at it. Now, okay, obviously the implication by putting Hawkeye up in that cherry picker or whatever, and he chooses the bow instead of the gun, which, you know, that's the fanboy moment right there. That's the moment. Where he goes to reach for a gun and then he grabs a bow.
I may have giggled like a girl.
What?
I may have giggled like a little girl.
No, because you know. Oh no. Who is that? Oh, it's Hawkeye. Oh my goodness. But then he gets up there. What should have happened? I like that he's starting to like Thor. You know, that he's like, oh, I'm starting to root for this guy. Coulson, you better call it. I want him to fire the arrow to see his talent. Now, what would have happened if for some reason he fired the arrow and purposely missed, but missed in one of those really, you know, obvious ways where he's missing something, you know, where he's firing this arrow and showing his talent. Because anybody who doesn't know about Hawkeye, any non-comic fan, they don't know who this guy is.
Well, clearly it was Katniss.
There's just a problem there.
That moment is in there for two reasons. One reason is because we're going to see this guy again, so they need to establish the chain.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason he's there is to have the fanboy moment. The men that were kids who read West Coast Avengers and saw the big purple costume with the H on the head, they're giggling. They know he can shoot. It's just fun.
It's not. He comes
and
on.
And it's problematic if he loses that arrow because he can't miss.
He can miss on purpose and make it, you know, it can be one of those amazing shots where it misses.
Coulson's going to dress him down and make him cry because we both know that Coulson's more of a man than Barton.
No, the miss doesn't happen because he's supposed to take the shot and hit Thor. The miss happens because, or maybe it's not even a miss. Maybe he fires the shot, you know, right before Thor's hands touch the hammer, you know, to keep Thor from touching the hammer or something. I don't know.
And then there's going to be blood.
We needed to see.
Dr. Pepper didn't pay for that.
He's not shooting his hand. He's shooting the hammer. Like the arrow goes right between his hand and the hammer. So Thor steps back or something. All I'm saying is we should have seen Hawkeye do something. If you're going to put someone in a movie to introduce them, then you need to have a reason why you're introducing them. This is a problem.
The reason we introduced him like that is so that you know he's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But that's not enough. That's not enough. We need to see him do what he's good at.
I think we're going to have to respectively agree to disagree on this moment.
Oh, I think we're going to have to respectively just say, you know, we disagree and Ben is right. So
Walt Disney pin that I'm holding in my hands that I'm twirling just won't allow me to do that right now.
Well, I don't. Your pen has no power over me. Yeah. So
fine, my pen doesn't.
Okay, so
I want to talk about one other agent before you start running off on me.
Who is it?
And that's Sitwell.
Okay.
So Jasper Sitwell is the Hispanic agent that we are actually introduced to in The Consultant.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he's level 6. And we also know that he's going to be – he's seen here. He's also seen in The Avengers briefly. In both of those roles, he's seen as a subordinate to Coulson, but a trusted subordinate. We see him in the Marvel one-shot that goes after The Avengers, where he's definitely taking on the Coulson role. Is that item 42?
47?
47. 42, and I don't know. We also know that Sitwell is going to be in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is going to be an important S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And the irony, the thing that I loved about this, and I didn't even realize it until I had done some research, is for our website, I had reviewed Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D. And in that, we have a Sitwell.
Really?
And that Sitwell actually replaces Nick Fury as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's a blonde Caucasian.
He's an actual
S.H.I.E.L.D.
an existing character. No way.
He is.
That's cool. I did not realize that at all.
Now, he's a very different agent in my mind.
Well, so is like Maria Hill depiction. Too. I mean,
now part of it is we may not have seen enough of Sitwell yet, because the comic Sitwell is very loyal, has been trained by Fury, and loyal to the point where at some point when S.H.I.E.L.D. turns against Fury, he's able to lead it using Fury's training. So
Sitwell, huh? But he's only level 6, so he doesn't know that Coulson's alive, right?
He's only level 6, as established in The Consultant.
Interesting. There. Okay. So Sitwell. Now, I had said – we said something on Facebook about characters we'd like to see, and we'll probably get to that feedback in a moment here. But I had said that there are some agents in this that I would like to see. I would love to see the big guy that Thor fights in this movie. I'd love to see him show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and talk about the day that he fought Thor. That'd be a cool scene.
That would be cool.
So, all right. Well, we've talked about S.H.I.E.L.D. We've talked about our main characters. Let's talk about the movie in general. This is a difficult movie to make. It's a superhero movie. It's Superman in The Lord of the Rings. Does it work?
Ultimately, it does work for me. And I'm not a big Lord of the Rings guy, and I don't do a lot with fantasy movies in my house. But it seems to be beloved by everyone in my house, probably more than I enjoy it. I will say I don't love it. I like it. I'm willing to watch it. you know what I mean? I'm not willing to watch Ang Lee, even though I now own a copy. Thanks, Ben. But
it's like,
I mean,
Iron Man 2 for me.
I have no problem throwing this in. Now, I may not watch it intensely. I may work on other things, like a comic review. But I mean, it's a fine, a good enough movie, and it does a good job at getting us ready for the Thor that we see in the Avengers. Because thanks to the story arc, his character development, I actually like him by the time we get to the Avengers.
And I think this is a lighthearted, fun, exciting diversion. I mean, the ice battle at the beginning is really cool, really fun and exciting. You have the battle at the end where it's a more emotional and you're getting into the brothers and father stuff.
You see Kenneth Branagh's name on it and you see Anthony Hopkins and you think, oh, I'm going to think. Just don't think. Just enjoy. Sit back, relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy the weekend.
It's a popcorn movie
with a Dr. Pepper and a Whopper
and a Slurpee. Well, I think that all told, then we kind of agree on this. Except I would put this above Iron Man 2.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You would put it below. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
To be honest, if we were to do the rankings of the current movies, Thor is probably right above the Incredible Hulk for me.
Okay.
And the Incredible Hulk is probably my bottom MCU movie. There's no MCU movie that I would say that I hate, though. Obviously, since we're doing a podcast on these things. But I do, in my own personal ranking, Thor is above Incredible Hulk, which is at the bottom.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. And all I will say is when Hawkeye is saying, "Do you want me to slow him down, sir?" to Coulson, I am saying, yes, I do. I want you to do something. But beyond that, this is a fun movie. I really like this movie, and I like what it does. And I like the way it kind of transports me back to 80s fantasy with 2000s special effects. So, all right, should we move on to the listener feedback that we got on Facebook? When we were asking here, we said, what characters from the movies would you like to see appear on the show? And that came from watching this and saying, oh, I'd like to see that big guy come back and talk about the time he fought Thor. So let's see. I said I'd like to see Samuel Stearns, the leader, played by Tim Blake Nelson, come back and have an arc on the show. David Clements said he'd like to see Maria Hill at least make a cameo, which would make sense. Daniel said Agent Stillwell. So we can see the shock when he finds Coulson alive. That was you saying that.
Yeah, and I misspelled it.
Oh, did I say Stillwell?
Well, I misspelled it. You read what I wrote.
Oh, okay. Andrew Laughlin said he'd like to see Dr. Selvig, which would be cool. Matt Anderson said they should bring in Thunderbolt Ross.
And then the controversy began.
To set up a Red Hulk appearance. And here where it just got crazy with comments, but... yeah, I have a problem with Red Hulk because I don't like variants of characters like that. She-Hulk, Red Hulk, et cetera, et cetera. But,
so you don't like Chipmunk Girl, who's a variant on Squirrel Girl?
No, we're not going to go there.
Because, you know, those Avengers up there. Lakes Avengers? Let's be honest. This whole thread just became a hot mess. So.
David Clemens, they're still talking about Hulk, still talking about Hulk.
So here's where we're at. If Red Hulk actually appeared, if Thunderbolt Ross appeared in the show, he's going to have to be recast a third time.
Well, he doesn't have to be, but it'd be.
And when he's recast a third time, he's going to lose another star. the only way he wouldn't be recast is if they brought back Sam Elliott, because we know Hurt's not going to do TV. So if they brought back Sam Elliott, he can have all four of his stars back. But if they bring in somebody new, he can only be two. So who do you want to recast Thunderbolt Ross as if it can't be Sam Elliott?
Oh, I don't know. I hate these casting questions. I don't know. I don't know enough about people's names and actors. And let's just give it to Nick Cage.
Okay, two stars, Thunderbolt Ross, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be doing TV soon.
Done. It's done.
Done.
All right, one last thing to talk about, and that is that there are three movies that, as of this recording, are going to be appearing. And this is on our – if you go to welcometolevel7.com, you can click on release calendar. You can see when we think the new pilot episode is going to appear. Thor The Dark World is November 8th. Captain America Winter Soldier is April 4th next year. Guardians of the Galaxy, August 1st next year. Avengers 2, May 1st. Ant-Man, November 6th, 2015, but then they have three more movies, May 6th, 2016, July 8th, 2016, and May 5th, 2017. What are these movies going to be? Daniel, go. The three unnamed movies, give them to me.
May 6th, 2016.
Yes.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, okay.
July 8th, 2016.
Okay.
Quicksilver.
A solo movie for Quicksilver?
Yeah.
Okay.
May 5th, 2017.
Yeah.
Great Lakes Avengers.
Yes. Great Lakes Avengers it is.
I had to do it.
For the win.
I don't know. I mean, Doctor Strange is really the only one we've heard in the pipeline.
That's the one that everyone's talking about and apparently has been confirmed as a upcoming movie.
If I had to guess, I would guess that at least one of these untitled is a sequel. Now... my guess is probably not a sequel to Thor because I'm wondering if Thor is going to be coming to an end. Yeah. I don't think it's an Iron Man 4, even though Disney would love it. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. will do it.
Not happening.
I could see a third Captain America.
I could see a third Captain America or a second Guardians of the Galaxy.
I could definitely see a second Guardians of the Galaxy. But again, they can't – if it's there's a second Guardians of the Galaxy in here, this is a short turnaround time. So it'd probably have to be the 2017 movie. And the other thing is they need some safety net in here if Guardians of the Galaxy bombs, because I am worried about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, for the same reasons that there was reasons we worry about Thor. But what about Avengers 3, though? Avengers 3 is not on here.
Well, maybe 2017 is Avengers 3.
And the whole thing with Robert Downey Jr. signing up for two more movies, he signed on for Avengers 2 and 3, not Iron Man 4. So
my question to you is, do you think that they'll announce Avengers 3's release date at Comic-Con, or do you think they'll release it at D23, which is about half a month later at the beginning of August, which is the big Disney fan club convention, where they'll bring in Avengers, or do you think that they will wait and see how some of these other movies do?
I think these three movies are going to be announced at Comic-Con. I think the dates were released to build buzz, and they're going to be releasing the information at Comic-Con.
See, I think if it's going to be released at Comic-Con, then none of them are Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I agree. I think it's going to be Doctor Strange. It might be something like Power Man Iron Fist. It might be something like Power Pack.
They're not going to do Power Pack.
They could. I mean, why not do a PG superhero movie?
They're already doing Big Hero 7.
But that's an animated movie.
They're not gonna put a kid movie into this right at the moment unless it has Harley in it.
I think that they might. I'm just saying.
They'll only do it if Harley's a member of the Power Pack,
which he honestly could be, and maybe that's Iron Man 4. I don't know. I'm just saying that it could be Power Man Iron Fist. It could be, they had that secret or not so secret meeting with Vin Diesel. Who could Vin Diesel be talking to Marvel about playing? Well, this is what we could be looking at.
Yeah, that could definitely be some. That could be the Iron, Power Man right there. Yeah. That could be Power Man. Because I think if they're talking to Vin Diesel is. I've never watched The Fast and the Furious, but I think he's got enough pull that he gets a movie.
The one thing.
But when you think about Vin Diesel and the stars of these other movies, he would be the first one, if he was the centerpiece of one of these movies, to be a big name. Because even Robert Downey Jr., he may have had a name, but his prestige was down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hemsworth, nobody knew who he was.
Vin Diesel would be the first marquee name that would actually be above the title.
And so my question to you is, if they land Diesel, did it include a discount because they convinced him to do a Marvel/Disney movie and to have the prestige of being in the MCU? Is the prestige enough to get you to give you a discount on your first time in?
No, I think that Vin Diesel is a comic book fan, though. And so I think that he is willing to do it, maybe not for as much, because it's just cool. He seems like the kind of guy who likes to do things that are just plain cool. So
there's going to be some excitement.
I think there will be. And I think we'll find out about Vin Diesel at Comic-Con as well. And I really wish I was going to Comic-Con. I've only been to Comic-Con once, maybe 7 or 8 years ago when I had a publisher brought me out for one of my books. But
I will say this. I went to the last D23 convention, and they did bring out the Avengers cast for the movie presentation. And it was a big deal. But they honestly didn't make any big announcements about what was going to happen in the future.
No, that's what Comic-Con is for.
But they did big announcements about Pixar and about animation. And they talked about Wreck-It Ralph. And they announced Pixar movies that I don't even think some of them have a title yet today, 2 years later. But I still think, because of the Marvel influence, that Disney does see Comic-Con is the place to announce these things versus their own convention.
Yeah.
Yep. Where they, to honest to goodness, they announce everything else. But I'm wondering between Marvel, I'm guessing that Marvel's going to be announced at Comic-Con, and I'm going to guess that Star Wars stuff is going to be announced at those celebration events.
I could see that, yeah. And then, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting their own thing for Comic-Con as well. So
yeah, because I can tell you, there's some Disney animated movies that have some release dates that they haven't gone out and done anything about what their titles are. But they'll tell you at D23. Yeah. I mean, that's where they'll announce some stuff. So, dude, we got to go.
We do. So next episode, we're talking about Captain America. And I'm excited about that one. And then Avengers. And we're kind of doing a bi-weekly schedule now, leading up until September, when we'll start doing some weekly stuff. And then getting into the series itself, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So where can people find you, Daniel?
Oh, they can find me at BetweenDisney.com.
Excellent.
Where can they find you, my friend?
They can find me at BenAvery.com. And they can find all of our Welcome to Level 7 stuff on, well, WelcomeToLevel7.com or Facebook.com/WelcomeToLevel7.
Or on Twitter at...
Or Twitter levels, at...
Level 7 Pod.
Level 7 Pod. Yeah. So beyond that, you got any final thoughts, Daniel?
Again, Thor, it's grown on me, and I think it does its job.
I agree. It's a good, solid movie, but like its cast, it's not a standout movie. This is not Superman, the original Superman. This is not the first Iron Man, but it is a good movie, and it really fits well. Yeah, I agree. And one last thing, Daniel. When you're looking for an internship, I have some advice to give you. And these are my last words to you, and the words that I think we can all take to the grave. I'm not dying for 6 college credits.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are Level7Pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jsearls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.